turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
You want to be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you as we start off Masters Week. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than Masters Week. You know, the beautiful weather, 90 degrees tomorrow, Lance. Perfect, perfect, perfect. We're getting back into the 90s. It just doesn't get any better than that.
That's what the April. That's what Aprils are about. April. When I think April weather, I think 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What an amazing time. Like, by July, it'll be up in the 120s. We live in Qatar now. Or maybe that's where the Masters are being played.
No,
Qatar,
the Masters.
Qatar, whatever.
Qatar. It's yeah. Qatar. And
maybe that's where the Masters is being played.
Yeah. That's the Masters is not being played in Qatar. It's being played right here, and it can't be better as we get Masters Week underway. And what a weekend it was, too. The game lived up to the billing. It really did. It was a fun game. Caleb Love with huge, huge, huge shot.
Caleb Love either shoots you out or shoots you in. He shot him in.
Yep.
It was second half. Caleb Love is the one that we saw a couple games ago. And spectacular from distance. I tell you what, I was watching the first half of the game at Torrey Andrews' birthday party, and we had some really fun conversations about some of the players the Rockets could target and take a look at. But you know, when you look at how North Carolina played against Duke, well, you look at the talent on the floor. Some really good talent on the floor. I mean,
it was a
very evenly matched up game. It's just kind of a nightmare for Coach K. I mean, everything about that, he loses his last game at Cameron to North Carolina. He loses his last game of his career to North Carolina in the Final Four. I didn't even realize his first loss ever in college basketball was to North Carolina. Like,
yeah.
North Carolina is his dad, but it was an excellent game, and you had the back and forth elements. You had big players making big shots, and obviously, the first game did not live up to the hype. Although Villanova was scrappy. I mean, they cut it to six after being down as much in the 20s, and they cut it down a few times. But when you have to push the rock up the hill
that far.
It's going to roll downhill on you. But Duke, North Carolina, what a terrific game for that to be Coach K's final game.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a good game. The Kansas game. How lucky is Kansas? They got Villanova, and at the end of the U of H game, Justin Moore gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And now at the end of the North Carolina Duke game, Baycott gets hurt.
Yeah.
So now Baycott is going to play. Justin Moore couldn't play, obviously, with the Achilles. But Baycott injured changes the dynamic a little bit. And, oh, by the way, our guy Five-Star was 2-0 again. I was worried about his over because it was only 70 at the half.
I was too.
It was 70 at the half.
And 71.
It was
right?
70.
Or was it?
It was 70 at the half because I was watching it. I was like, oh, come on, you got to get going here. And but they came out firing, and he was absolutely right. If for those of you who don't know, Five Star joined us last week, and he said he's got the North Carolina Duke over. And he's got Kansas minus 4.5. The Kansas minus 4.5 was simple, although, like you said, they did cut it to 6. Maybe it was sweating it a little bit there. But then Kansas pulled away and won easily. And then the over got there as well in the final. But it did take to the final minute of the game for the over on the North Carolina Duke.
Yeah, but then it came crashing in because they were trading threes.
Yeah, they were trading threes and free throws.
No big deal.
Although, I mean, if North Carolina just hits their free throws if North Carolina just Mark Williams missing those two free throws, Mark Williams misses those two free throws, that was just huge, huge, huge. You can't miss those in that situation, although that's what happens with big guys at the line. Mark Williams is considered a big prospect. He is probably a top 20 pick in the NBA draft, and rightfully so. But that's something that he's always – I can't imagine that kid after that game. He's on the line to tie it, and he misses both.
It's incredible. Yeah, it was 71 at half. You know how I know? Because I was really sweating that. I was like – yeah, because they hit a three right before – it was tied up. They hit a three before half. But it was a game where Williams – I mean, Baycott, you thought, uh-oh, Baycott's gone. This is over. I mean, at least if you were for – you know, if you were cheering for North Carolina, if you were cheering for Duke, you're like, good, Baycott's out. Baycott with 21 boards. He is the third – it's the third highest total of rebounds per game in NCAA history is Armando Baycott. I mean, that's really, really impressive. He just grabs every rebound. I mean, just grabs every single rebound. It's amazing what he's able to do. But he's not going to be at 100%. Although he came back out and played. I mean, you know, he made it back out. Whatever they did to get him back out there – he was back out there and ready to go. So he'll be out on the floor. I just have a funny feeling this is going to be, you know, and Charles Barkley said it too at the end of the game. This is Kansas. This just feels like their year. They're really tough at so many different positions. They get their points from a variety of players at a variety of moments, and you just get the feel. But, I mean, the same thing can be said for North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, Manic can get really hot. Love can get really hot. The difference is Kansas feels The difference to me feels like that Love is a guy who could potentially get you in some trouble, too. Where I don't see Kansas with a player who
Agbaji
you say, hey, can you
so
stop
sweet.
Shooting? God, he's so – he made, what, all six or six of seven threes the other day? He was six of his first six. I think he finally missed one. He was 6 of 7. And all I could think of was, my gosh, like, I'd love for the Rockets to get their hands on that guy.
And McCormick was just dominant inside – I mean, holy crap.
And that is old.
Well, but he's not
going to
do that against Baycott. He's not.
No, he's not going
to do that if Baycott can go.
No, but he'll make Baycott really work because he's a physical player.
Well, and how about Williams in trouble in the first 4 minutes of game of the game? And then John's got five fouls. I mean, it's unbelievable how
Baycott
quickly
did foul out of the game. I mean, while we're talking about it,
I'm talking about the Mark Williams was
right.
Mark Williams was
no,
out of the game.
No, bigs were in foul trouble.
Bigs,
yeah,
for Duke
bigs
were in
foul
trouble.
Yeah.
So if Baycott had if he can't move and he's got to foul McCormick, you're right. This could get out of hand in a hurry. And then Brown, holy crap, he didn't do anything in the first half. And firing up threes out of that one that he took off of the pass and just fired a three, falling backwards. Holy crap!
I want to ask you about the thing that I came away with from a Rocket standpoint, because the Rockets lost again last night, and it was once again the perfect loss. I mean, young players scoring, exciting basketball to be had. And a loss. It was everything you could possibly want it to be. Another 30-point game for the rookie of the year, Jalen Green. If they don't give it to him, it's a tragedy.
Well, he certainly is the last 20-game MVP.
I mean, no, I'm obviously joking, but he is the best rookie over the last month. The last month. He's rookie of the year over last month. I mean, he's rookie of the year. He's the March. He's the rookie of the month, at least.
And you know what's encouraging is, and we saw the guy last night was Anthony Edwards. This is exactly how he went about it.
Yeah,
he was really, really struggled early on, and then he just took off. And look at the season Anthony
Edwards
has had.
Well, you can't say this run by Jalen Green. There's no turning back now. Jalen Green is officially has star potential. I mean, there's nothing that can be said. This isn't one of those things where you're like, oh, he's showing flashes. No, he's officially stamped himself with star potential. Jalen Green, I'm going to combine the college and the pro here. Jalen Green right now is averaging 16.8 points per game. He is shooting for the year. He's a 42% field goal percentage. He's now up to 34% from the three-point line. Extremely credible three-point percentage for a rookie. Extremely
especially after
credible.
Where he came from.
And then when you consider where he came from, you're blown away. 80% from the free throw line. You know, his rebounds, assists, turnovers. You know, you want to see his rebounds and assists come up a little bit. But from a scoring standpoint, here's his last five. 31, 33, 32, 30, and 25. Those are his last five. His three-point percentage, 50, 42, 9, 42, 9, 40, 54, 5. Right now, over his last 10 games, he's averaging 22.7 points a game, shooting 41.1% from three, John, 82% from the free throw line. He's 22.7 with 41.4% from the three in his last 10 games. He has stamped himself with star potential. It's official. And I think all you do is you look for what comes next. So I get excited watching Paolo Banchero. I'm telling you right now, to have a 6'10 guy who, and he's well put together too. Like, he's not a string bean like, you know, like Chet Holmgren is. This guy is well put together. He can take you off the bounce and finish at the rim aggressively. He is has a well-rounded game. He is he's a power forward with, you know, he's a power forward with really plus athleticism. I get excited now. I don't know that that's the perfect fit for what you want with the, because you have Şengün, who's also, they call him a center, which is fine. You have two, you know, you would have two bigs, but it's not a classic big lineup. You don't have a classic big in there, but what you have is tremendous skill with Banchero. If you were to get him, I'm just saying, let's say you got the third pick and he's there, second pick, fourth pick, whatever it is. And if you got Banchero and you tied him in with, that's all I'm doing right now is, all I'm doing is taking players I see in the tournament and I'm plugging them in with Jalen Green and Şengün. And then, you know, any amalgamation of players they have on the roster. And I just can't help but get excited. Now, it is also true that in every one of these Jalen Green 30-point games, it's a loss. So they have not turned any of these games into wins, which, you know, we jokingly, but not also not jokingly, are excited about them staying where they need to stay in the bottom three to maximize their opportunities for lottery balls. But at the same time, you kind of, you know, in real life, you want to see some of these turn into wins.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You don't have Christian Wood for, I don't know why, what's going on with Christian Wood. You don't have Eric Gordon, and you don't win any games with Eric Gordon. I think they've won one or two games all season without Eric Gordon. He's missed 20 games. So you just don't win when he's not on the floor for whatever reason. They're not at full strength. And oh, by the way, this is all good. This is really, really good. Hey, Josh Christopher last night. Holy crap. 11 of 14, 30 points. When you're getting that kind of production, Şengün was 5 of 7 with 15 rebounds. I mean,
well, Christopher is one of those flash players that really you think, man.
Man, but you got him at the back end of the first round.
See, this is what the Rockets have right now that the Texans don't have. Even though they're at the same, you know, you look at them like they're both in rebuild mode after James Harden. They didn't look any different. By the end of last year, the end of the 2021 season, 2020-2021, you would have said, oh, my God, this is gross. Like, the Rockets have nothing. The Texans have nothing. Then you added Jalen Green, but you also added Josh Christopher and Şengün. Like, the difference between the Rockets and Texans, the most you can get excited over the Texans is Nico Collins and Davis Mills and Brevin Jordan and Greenard. I don't.
Lopez.
Like, there's no juice. There's no juice with the Texans.
None.
Even with their young players, there's still no juice. You got some juice with the Rockets,
yep,
players.
Yep. And you add a Banchero or a Smith or a Holmgren. I don't think Ivy fits with this team. You got enough of that.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is that you add, you're going to be.
Immediately, you're better.
You're better.
And you know what? You're better just being a year removed from the. And like, everyone is stair stepping upwards anyway. Josh Christopher is going to get better next year. Şengün is going to get better, more skilled. All these guys are going to get better and more skilled.
Yep. So, man, we haven't even hit what may be the top story. When we come back, Carlos Beltran had some words. He said words, and we will, and then actually this is the first time we've heard him speak, and he's doing it in a Yankee uniform. So that's a problem. We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, you got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios has spent a lot of time on my patio this weekend. And why not? I mean, the weather's great. My kids love eating out there, and they watch Netflix and sometimes watch games out there. I love watching games. Not watching my my Everton team because they're just getting too close to relegation, although I have watched many a matchup out there. But having the ability to cook out on an outdoor kitchen is something I'm going to have here in about a month, and they're going to get started. The project's going to take about 2 weeks for what I'm doing. I already have a patio built for them. But what I wish I would have done is had the outdoor kitchen built into it the very first time that I built my patio. And it's one of the things they can do is whatever you can dream and conceive of, they can do for you. They can get you financed and taken care of so you can get exactly what you're looking for. Because trust me, what you get is going to add that much value and joy to your everyday life. It's an outdoor oasis is what they build. But it also brings value to your home when it's time to to sell your home. But can you imagine cooking on your own cooktop or your built-in infrared grill, or maybe you got all your drinks in your little refrigerator there. You're all set up to go with your prep area and your big island where friends can sit and watch the games and have beers and have, you know, your food that you're making for them. Just a great time on your own outdoor living space. TexasCustomPatios.com. Make it a reality. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For whatever reason, usually you can get sound from the Michael Kay Show. Unfortunately, we could not. So we're going to have to read you what Carlos Beltran. Now, Carlos Beltran really hasn't spoken since he was suspended for the year. He was fired by the Mets as their manager. He now is back with the New York Yankees, and he went on the Michael Kay Experience or whatever it is on his show. And is it a coincidence that Cashman comes out with his statements that he had last week, and now Carlos Beltran is coming out as we approach the opening of the letter? Do you think that there's any correlation? Here's what's going on here. Cashman making these bold statements about how horrific and terrible the Astros are, he's going to look like he's going to have egg on his face if the commissioner writing to him says, man, you guys are cheating, so you need to stop. So he must know that either he knows that there's something in there that's not damning to the New York Yankees.
Bleacher Report, do you? No, actually, it's quite the opposite. Did you see what Bleacher Report had?
No, Bleacher Report
had an article where it's from MLB Rumors on Bleacher Report.
Well, it's a rumor. Okay.
Yeah. Bleacher Report, rumor, report, Yankees will appeal release of 2000. Wait.
Yeah, the Yankees are appealing again, but the judge said to open it.
Yeah. The judge said to open it. They're appealing it again.
Yeah.
But they know that it's going to be sign stealing in there. They know it's going to be in there. The report is not going to. Remember, there were some articles previously when it first came up where they said, "Oh no. It's nothing. There's nothing in there." It's going to show. The question will be: Does it implicate Beltran at all in his name? But you're right. I was so sickened by Carlos's comments, knowing that, I guess it's just knowing what I know already and what we know, but some of it is public knowledge too, that Carlos was the ringleader. Like, Carlos brought it to the team, right? And then to say, well, I mean, no one stopped it. None of us, we didn't step in because it was working. What do you mean we didn't step in?
So
you implemented it. What do you mean step in?
Right. Noel. So here's what Beltran said. We felt that when teams are coming to our ballpark, we felt that some teams have something going on. That's all he said. Michael Kay did not come back and say, okay, what did you think about other teams? What did they have going on or whatever? So we felt that we needed to create our own system, you know, and that's what happened. Actually, and Michael Kay, here's the questions. But because he's a Yankee and he's talking to a Yankee guy on a Yankee network, then none of the pertinent questions were asked of Carlos Beltran. What, like, Carlos, The everybody says you were the one that brought this to the table, and you had just come from the New York organization. What were the Yankees doing that you knew and you brought with you to the Astros? But since it's all Yankees. Of course these questions aren't being asked. And then Carlos Beltran says this. Well, think about this. Every team in baseball have their video room. Almost every team has their video room next to the dugout. Our video room in Houston was in the clubhouse, so we needed to run there to see our at-bats. So we felt, why don't we have our video room next to our dugout? Now, all of a sudden, we got our video room next to our dugout, and it's easy, simple. We had a feed that was good for us, you know? We're seeing the game. You get to see the pitchers. You get the catchers. And then we felt that we could, you know, but we didn't feel that we were really crossing the line there. We didn't feel we were really crossing the line. We felt in our hearts that we were being efficient and smarter than any team out there. That's how we felt. But then, well, if the well asked, teams including the Astros received a directive from MLB in fall 2017. Well, if the Astros front office got the letter, they knew, but they never shared it with us. Now, if that is the case, if Luneau never went down when he got that letter from Major League Baseball, and he didn't go down there and say, you guys, you can't do this, then you know what? Then Luneau deserved to be fired.
It was all, If, I mean, if that were the case, then it's, you're just winning by all means. I mean, by all well, and measures Luneau, and methods
because
necessary.
Luneau had the emails of the dark, whatever it was called. Yeah, and oh, by the way, we've got the code. We've broken the code. We know how to do this and blah, blah, blah. Luneau knew that and never went down and shared that letter from Major League Baseball with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said anything to us. You know, nobody said anything. I wish somebody would have said something. A lot of people always ask me why you didn't stop. And my answer is I didn't stop in the same way no one stopped it. This is working for us. Why are you going to stop something that is working for you? So if the organization would have said something to us, we would have stopped it for sure. Now, didn't AJ throw over the video table? Didn't AJ, in a fit, tell these guys to stop doing this BS? Wasn't there a time when AJ was pissed off and he threw over the video table? Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I guess maybe they want a little more follow through. Don't just turn it over. Just say, hey, guys, this is over.
Well, yes, AJ, as the manager of the team, did not tell them, stop. You're not doing this anymore, period, exclamation point.
Well, that's the thing where you don't want to hear.
He heard the trash cans banging right behind him.
But the Astros were probably guilty. I'm not going to retry the Astros. They've already gone through it and faced their punishment and still face, you know, the issues they face today in terms of public perception. But the bottom line is, it's not unlike anything where you don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to hear it. Because once you hear it and once you know, you're culpable. However, if there was a letter, yeah, that went to Jeff Luneau, that's going to be damning for him. But similarly, how is Brian Cashman out there talking? And now Carlos Beltran, when we know Beltran started this whole thing and that he got the concept of replay room from the Yankees.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's but literally that, where it came from.
That question's not asked here, Lance.
Well, but I wouldn't expect
it's
it
a
to.
Michael Kay, a Yankee employee.
So I'm saying, would you ask it?
No, if you work for the Texans, you expect
Mark Vandermeer. I'm not going to. I don't have a problem with Michael Kay not asking it because Michael Kay, what does he want to get fired on the spot?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's literally would be the most embarrassing thing to ask that question. He'd be fired. Michael Kay would be fired the next day. Or they'd find a way to get rid of him. So I don't blame Michael Kay for not asking it. And Carlos Beltran's not going to go on any show that's going to be dangerous to him, where the questions are going to be, like, he's not going to go on Pat McAfee's show.
No.
He's not going to go on MLB Network may not.
No, he's not
going to
do anything. He's not doing it. Yeah, now, if the New York media, we haven't seen him ask one question. That's all they do is, oh, no, the Yankees are fine. It was just the Astros. If he had to sit down at a press conference with actual journalists and they actually asked the right questions, then maybe some of the truth would come out of Carlos. Instead, he did a puff piece with a Yankee employee. Did Beltran cooperate with MLB's investigation and his thoughts on being named? Well, Beltran said 100%. Now, there is something to this. The part that bothered me about this is, you know, when I sit down to cooperate with them, they said to me, we're not going against the players. We're going against field personnel, front office, and organization. And the fact that I'm the only player named in that report, so how did that happen? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Everyone gets immunity except Carlos Beltran. I don't get it. You know, there is something to that. There really is something to that.
But he was a manager.
He was the ringleader. No, he was a player.
No, but he was a manager at the time with another team. You can't have a manager. Look, got immunity. Yeah, but Carlos.
No. He got immunity. He was a player on the 17 team.
But Carlos was not still in the league as a player.
No. But still.
That's probably why.
Maybe.
Guys who were still players. You notice it was guys who were still players. Guys who were no longer players. And there was one, Carlos, along with the two who got fired for the Astros, the front office guys. I think that was, and Cora. I think that's why. Was Carlos really a player at the end of that thing?
No, he wasn't.
Was he really a player?
No.
Or was he just a professional cheater?
He was.
He was the guy who was running the system. That's all he was. He was the veteran running the system because he wasn't a hitter at the end. Carlos was too slow to be a fielder, and he wasn't a hitter. What he was is the guy who was valuable because he helped give Marwin's career life. He helped give Tyler White purpose and reason to be alive.
Here's what the letter is going to say. Oh, we got a... Here's what the letter said.
Yeah.
David had this. Apparently, he's got a... this is breaking. Breaking news. Dear Yankees, your egregiousness wasn't as egregious as the Astros' dastardly egregiousness. Thank you, hugs and kisses, Robbie M. I don't know that that's what's going to be. I'm not sure, but that is what Twitter says that's going to happen.
Robbie M.
Robbie M. All right, when we come back, USMNT... has their draw. We'll take a couple of minutes to talk with Glenn Davis about where about being in the same group as England. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, a little Maestro.
Maestro Dobell. So we're talking about Maestro Dobell. Maestro Dobell is the home of your best tequilas if you're looking for reposados. But you know what? I believe... One of the things that separates them is they have premium tequilas at affordable prices. And if you want high-end tequila, but you don't want to sit there and pay in the hundreds for a bottle of premium tequila, Maestro Dobell is going to be for you. 11 generations of tequila makers have gone through the processes. They fine-tuned it. 100% pure agave is used for all of their tequilas. But what you get is a smooth, distinct finish. You get smokiness on the humito, which is a smoked silver. You get the delicious smoothness of the añejo and the añejo extra that they have. But maybe the cristalino is for you, where they take three different tequilas, blend them, and then charcoal filter them. And they've got a process by which they do this. And it created a brand new grouping called cristalinos. And their cristalino is called the Diamante. And the Diamante is absolutely spectacular. If you're a tequila fan, whether it's sipping tequilas, you're having them for your cocktails, your margaritas, I promise you the Diamante is going to be one that really elevates your cocktail to the next level. Check out Maestro Dobell. Anytime you're looking for your next tequila, add that to your top shelf, and you cannot go wrong. Maestro Dobell.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our good friend Glenn Davis wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about this draw because how nice is this? England and the U.S. in the same group along with Iran, and then there's a playoff for that last spot that we will find out who's going to be in that fourth team in the group. Glenn Davis here with us, Soccer Matters, Tuesday nights right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn, welcome back. What's going on?
John, Lance, good morning. Thanks for having me on the breakfast show.
Quickly, what did you think about this draw?
Tremendous storylines. U.S. has history with Iran, politically charged. England has a huge influence over our game in the United States for many, many years. We met them in South Africa before. We got a lot of U.S. players that, you know, obviously play in the Premier League, like Pulisic and company. They'll be going up against guys like Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Declan Rice, and all those guys. So I think that's an incredible matchup. And then I would say out of the playoff with Wales and Scotland and Ukraine have to play, you probably don't want to get to Ukraine because the entire world will probably be pulling for them.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. No kidding. So what about the matchup with England? Who are you favoring in that one?
Well, look, I mean, England's going to be one of the favorites in the tournament. They're 8-2-1 all time against the U.S. But I think the thing we focus on here is a young team that's confident, that's going to be claiming a tremendous amount of experience before we host the World Cup in 2026. And there's a lot of guys that have had, as we have mentioned, a lot of experience in high-profile games. If you're, you know, playing for the likes of Chelsea and Juventus and Barcelona, you know, you've played in stadiums with 70 to 100,000 people. Now, it's a World Cup. Most of these, all these guys, I think, except for one, DeAndre Yedlin, on the current roster, have not played in a World Cup. So that'll be an issue, playing in a World Cup for the first time ever. I mean, it's the pinnacle of the game. It's what every young man dreams of. So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting matchup. England, you know, of course, will have to, you know, bear the burden of the pressure that they're going to get from their country, because, you know, the English fan, many times their expectations sometimes exceed everything. But the England squad's a good one under Gareth Southgate. I think the U.S. going into that game an underdog's a good thing.
Yeah, they are. And when you look at the group stage, I mean, the U.S. and I don't know, based on what you know about the teams who are going to be potentially qualifiers for the last spot, do you see it as clearly, I mean, England's clearly one. Do you see U.S. as clearly two, or is that you know, on paper, or is that not accurate?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think England came out of pot one, so they're number one. We came out of pot two. We can say and speculate all we want. What happens in the next, you know, 7-8 months, and it's fun, and I think this is what's great for the game, especially in this country, as we continue to platform the sport as World Cups do every 4 years. But I think for me, the thing to really focus on is just that this is a young, ambitious group of guys. They got a mission accomplished. They're in the World Cup now. They're going to get two World Cups in a row now. They're 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, a lot of them, 23. Just imagine where they're going to be, you know, in 4 years from now. And yes, the U.S., I think, has set a goal to get into the, obviously into the knockout stages, but a lot of things can happen between now and November, right? Injuries, loss of form, all kinds of things. So there will be some subtle changes probably, but I think everybody in the U.S. should be really excited about this team. And I think they could do something special at this World Cup and surprise a lot of people. And, you know, you're already hearing the English fan talking about what a hammer in the U.S. is going to take. And I'm just like, keep talking like that. That's exactly what you want to do, because you feed fuel to the fire to these young guys. They're a confident group, and I don't think they're going to walk into a World Cup in fear, but they certainly will be experiencing something different and new.
Did I miss something? Are we in Houston? Are we hosting in 26?
I sure hope so. I think it's about 50-50. I mean, I don't think enough people in Houston even know that we're attempting to host it, but that's a whole nother story, which is pretty sad, because I think we had an opportunity over this run of years to really promote the game and push the awareness of the game, which would give you a benefit whether you get it or not, right? When you're bidding for a World Cup, you're bidding for the greatest sporting event on the planet. I think it was a missed opportunity by us in Houston, because I think, you know, we could have gained more allegiance in mainstream media, and we could have embraced and brought everybody together into this mission of potentially hosting it. There's so many things you could have done that I think would have created more awareness. But anyway, I still think it's 50-50, and with FIFA, you really never know,
what,
right?
What could have been done, out of curiosity?
Do all kinds of things. Yeah. I think more community outreach, more awareness, and working with local TV and radio stations. We could have run PSAs in the morning about World Cup 2026 USA. Go to the Museum of Fine Arts and monthly run a World Cup final game, you know, 74 World Cup, West Germany versus the Netherlands. I mean, we can go on and on. There's a ton of things that could have been done. It just sometimes when you get soccer people, that people that are not soccer people involved with these things, you miss some real opportunity. I get it's corporate. I get it's commercial. It's a big financial boon if we get it here. It's a feather in the cap of Houston and the Sports Authority. But There's so many other things you could have done, and that to me is a disappointment.
Were you asked to be on an outreach group? Because, I mean, it would make some sense with your connections.
I was told I was going to be on one, and went back two or three times, said there was some real cool things we could do on with radio and TV and the media, and never heard back.
That's really disappointing.
That's not smart. That's not nothing smart about that. That's Glenn Davis. That's our guy, our soccer, the most...
Soccer Matters.
The Soccer Matters Tuesday nights right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Glenn, we appreciate it. I just wanted to check in, see what you thought, because this is huge. U.S. is going to be in with England and Iran, and hopefully not the Ukraine. You're right. When I saw the Ukraine, I was like, first of all, are they letting them... first of all, how'd they get out of the country to practice? And secondly, one of the first things I said is, holy crap, you want to talk about somebody that everybody's going to be rooting for. It'll be the Ukraine. There's no question. So, yeah, you don't want that. Hey, Glenn, we appreciate it, man, as always. We'll be listening to you tomorrow night.
Thank you, guys. World Cup 2026 to Houston.
Let's go. Let's do it. That's Glenn Davis right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I get my new furniture. I'll be Airbnb and that sucker so quick.
Oh, my gosh.
Make your head spin.
Some
money going to be coming in town if it comes
to
town.
Oh, yeah, there will be.
Forget about it. I mean, multiple countries coming in. Are you kidding me? I will Airbnb my house in a heartbeat.
Where are you going to stay? Meemaw's?
I'll stay out in Kingwood with my in-laws. I don't care. I'll go out of town and do the show from, although I want to go to some matches.
Yeah, you want to go some of the matches?
Yeah, I want to go to the matches. I'm going to go on a hotel and book hotel rooms immediately if they say, yeah, Houston's getting it, right before they have a chance to jack up the rates, because they will.
They'll go way higher. Some bad news over the weekend. Friday night, first play of the scrimmage of the Friday Night Lights, Alton McCaskill suffers a torn ACL injury. And I asked behind the scenes, you know, what's that mean, the season? And they said, no, well, it depends on the rehab, so we'll see. I don't know when he can possibly get back, but there's a possibility. But they're not left high and dry. Brandon Campbell is a USC transfer. Tejon Henry is back, who played really, really well last year. Dana really liked him because even though he wanted to limit McCaskill's touches last year, but he really, I think part of it was, hey, Henry's doing a nice job, so let's put him back out there.
Yeah.
And then they've got another kid named Stacy Sneed, who is talented, hasn't gotten on the field, but he's really talented and they really like him. But you also, again, you got the USC transfer, Brandon Campbell coming in. So
that'll help.
I'm
always going to be worried about people recruiting McCaskill off the Cougars with NIL money. That's what I would be worried about.
Yeah,
he's talented.
That happened.
Size and talent. Yeah.
That was happening.
Okay, that makes sense because that's what NIL is just legal tampering. Well, it's not really legal, but until somebody takes a stand and the players getting the money aren't going to take any stand. They're going to keep it quiet as they can, but. Yeah, I think the NILs turn into a massive problem, an instant transfer, because players are just going to be – basically, big teams are going to use your team as farm teams. Like, thought they were picking coaches? Wait until you see what they do to rosters.
Oh, absolutely.
You're just going to be – like, Houston is going to be considered a farm team at some point unless Houston can somehow play the game too, because it's not going to be any different. The biggest schools have the most money for coaches. Now they're going to have the most money for players. And they'll just buy the – in no way does this – all this is going to do is rich richer, poor poorer, and eliminate middle class. That's what it's going to do. They did it for coaches, and now it's going to do it for players.
Yep. All right, we got a lot to do here. We are going to be talking with Josh Alpert from Pro Football Talk. We'll talk – and let's introduce that in the next segment with Deshaun Watson. There's some – Mary Kay Cabot came out with something interesting.
Mary Kay's going to be on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to shake Mary Kay from the story. She's going to be on the story.
He's going to join us at 8:30, at 9 o'clock, R.J. Anderson, to talk about this Carlos Beltran stuff and other baseball. Hey, I don't know if you heard, baseball season starts Thursday. So let's go.
This
Thursday. And then Pat Forty's going to join us at 9:30 to talk about Coach K. He wrote a nice article about Coach K, Hard to write a bad article about Coach K, but he wrote a nice article. It's 7:43. Time for me to talk about some really, really nice people over at HRP. But you know what? It ain't about nice. It is. You know what? It's good to be nice, though, right? I mean, it's always good to be nice. And Mike Holly and Chris and Kevin and all the people over there are really, really great guys. And I really, you will genuinely like them. But it's about, are you going to get, how are you going to get me my payroll? Are you going to do it efficiently? Are you going to do it economically? Are you going to take care of my Affordable Care Act as well with my taxes? Are you going to take care of my HR professionally and again, competently? And again, there are some of these places that do these things and they're not very competent at it. It's unbelievable, the technology. When you go over to HRP and you see they got a beautiful facility on the Beltway, and when you see the technology, you're like, holy cow. But the most important thing for you is get me my paychecks to my employees and get it to me at the best cost that you possibly can. And that's what HRP is doing. So if you're looking for that, if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
That's an interesting stat. Watching ESPN right now, asking which team will win the NFC East. And Dominic Foxworth says the Eagles. No team has repeated as East champion since 2004.
Wow.
That is
a long run.
That's closing in on 20 years.
But it has been kind of in flux. I mean, I mean, New York has won two Super Bowls since then. They've been terrible, it feels like, for a long time. Dallas has had, I would have thought Dallas or Philadelphia. Washington doesn't feel like.
Well, Washington was just played Tampa a couple of years ago as the champions of the division.
But who has had a sustained run?
Nobody.
No,
Cowboys are so up and down. Obviously, nobody, because nobody's.
Well, no,
nobody's repeated as division champ since 2004.
Right. Clearly, no one has had a sustained run.
Since 2004. Wow, that's wild. So Deshaun Watson, Mary Kay Cabot says,
good dude. I like that guy.
Well, Mary Kay Cabot says,
brought us draft pick.
The absence of criminal charges may help Watson avoid a lengthy suspension. She's per league investigators, some kind of source that she has or whatever. She hears that Watson could be hit with a 6-game ban that gets reduced to 4 games. But it might not happen. And here's what she said. The Browns are not going to force Deshaun Watson to settle, although it would be in their best interest, because if more of these depositions come out, then it's
just. They want him to force. Listen, Deshaun can force his way out of there and get a new contract somewhere else.
If that is true.
If you make David Mulugeta upset, you know how long Deshaun will be a Cleveland Brown for his press conference?
I'm surprised he isn't gone already. What with Andrew Berry not saying he doesn't think he. When he asked, do you think he's innocent? He just said, well, we believe in Deshaun.
Can you imagine if Deshaun says, I've decided I'm no longer going to play for the Cleveland Browns?
So apparently, but she says, how about this, that he might not be suspended until all the settlements are done, which could take up until he's not making $55,000 a game when he's making almost $2 million a game. So if I'm Deshaun, I'm like, economic decision here. Settle the cases.
Settle has always been the right economic decision for him. There's never not been a time where settling. That's why so many people settle, even times where they shouldn't necessarily settle. It's always the option that most people pick because they realize the alternative is too painful. For Deshaun, I think obviously there's a little different scenario at hand here. If he could have settled from a strategic standpoint, I'm not talking about morality, but just strategically, you might have avoided some of the other people coming out or whatever. But regardless, now you're getting into the quicker you settle, the quicker the NFL will probably be, will probably need to start to decide what their penalty is going to be. The longer it takes, the longer the NFL is going to drag their feet too.
Yeah. No. If I'm the NFL, I'm going, well, we're not going to do anything. Oh, you got that? You got $1 million contract this year, Deshaun? We're going to wait till you settle. How about that? And then we'll decide. And then it might take us some time too, because I tell you what, you cannot circumvent the suspension and the fine with this crap, this BS that they pulled of giving them $45 million signing bonus and $1 million this year. You just can't circumvent it like that. The NFL knows what they're doing. The NFL understands what the Browns, the side play that they're pulling here. And if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm like, we're gonna drag our feet on the suspension, and maybe it'll carry over into not this year, but next. And then the other thing she says is, there's no market for Baker Mayfield. A lot of teams or all teams figure him to be a lower half of the league starting quarterback, and he's making $18 million this year.
I'm telling you, you will have to. I brought this up last week. The talk around the league is you're going to have to give up a pick to move.
Andrew Berry.
No one is biting. There's blood in the water. So if you want Baker Mayfield, you know, just wait it out. They're desperate, not us.
Oh, well, actually, they're not. Andrew Berry says, oh, really? I'll just wait it out. You know what? I'll keep him on the roster. What's the difference? I gotta pay that dead money.
I feel a Mitch Fox coming, sleeping bag. Well, where he gets to not play.
No, he absolutely will be, because if Deshaun,
he'll be inactive.
No,
Baker won't be inactive. I don't think Baker will cause a commotion.
He won't. They'll just say you're inactive. You're not playing.
Well, but why would you do that? Why not keep him back up just in case?
I don't even think he'll be in the locker room.
You don't think so?
No,
I think he will. If he wants to collect, Baker needs.
No.
Baker wants to collect his money.
We'll pay you. Just stay away.
I think that's, if you do that, let me tell you what Cleveland then is going to be accused of by every person in the league. So you guys just gave guaranteed money to a guy with legal issues like that, and now you're giving guaranteed money to a guy that you're telling not to play in a time that we're having more problems than ever with guys just deciding they're not going to play. That is beyond a bad look.
Well,
that is malfeasance by the Cleveland Browns.
Well, here's what they're going to have to do. And Andrew Berry says, I ain't giving up no draft picks for him. When a quarterback goes down, now you're going to need me.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why. But I think you can. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be a guy. Number one, Baker's not a big enough. He's not a big enough alpha in that locker room. I don't believe that it matters. Like, he can't be. And I don't think he'll be disruptive to the point that, like, Deshaun is going to be the team leader. I think Baker can sit there, try to play the good guy role, because Baker, this is going to be humbling for Baker. Baker Mayfield, in turn, is going to have to say, wow, I thought I was here, and I'm actually here. So what you're going to see now is Baker's going to have to rehab his image. And his agent's going to say, be the best teammate you can be. Be right next to Deshaun's side, high-fiving him, doing all this stuff, because we got to rebuild your image, because people don't want Baker Mayfield. The best-case scenario for Baker, and frankly, the Browns, is if Deshaun gets hurt, Baker Mayfield can step in at any point.
No, they're saying Jacoby Brissett is going to play, not Baker.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the – Jacoby's not as good as Baker Mayfield. So I'm not sure that I love that idea unless you can move. I'm saying, once again, if you can't move Baker. Well, I'm okay with him saying, I don't want to give away a pick. But at some point, you may need to say, look, will you take a fourth? Will you take a fourth for Baker if you really want him out of there that badly? And somebody else to take on the salary.
Or you wait until somebody gets hurt, and when their quarterback goes down and they're desperate, they're gonna give you a third or a fourth.
But why not have him as a backup, though? What's the point?
I don't know that Baker's got to play ball. Now, don't forget, Baker, as soon as it came out, I love you, fans. I'm going to be leaving now.
He may not be. I'm talking from the Brown standpoint. Baker may be an issue, but you also could force, like, what they could do, ironically, is push Baker to say, hey, if you sit out, we're taking your money.
No, Baker will show up.
Yeah.
What?
But if you what do you want that, me to do? If you do that, you can just say, look, Baker, we'd love to move you. Here's the reality. No one wants you right now.
See.
And if you are going to be a guy who is petulant, you're going to hurt your own cause. And you tell the agent that probably before you tell Baker. And the agent's going to understand because the agent knows, crap, we got second contract coming up, and this is a problem.
Well, if you think Baker's ego isn't bruised already, first of all, yeah, you're a guy, and we're going to shop. We're trying to get Deshaun. We're giving him a guy with 22 lawsuits. We can't wait for him to get in here as opposed to you. And then he says, I want to go to the Colts. And the Colts are like, nah, we'll take Matt Ryan, not you. We don't want you. Holy crap. And then he finds out, not only are you not getting anything back for him, but you've got to give up something just to get rid of him. Now, you think Baker, his ego might be a little bit bruised?
Yeah.
Holy crap. This is a rude awakening for Baker Mayfield.
It is.
The number one overall pick just 4 years ago. Holy crap. Yeah. Speaking of number one overall picks, when we come back, Bucky Brooks has his mock draft. Let's see how it compares to our guys. You're a big Bucky fan, too.
Yeah,
so we'll
I like
see.
Bucky.
You like Bucky. So we'll see what Bucky says and if you refute it or what you think. But first off, we need some insurance.
TGS Insurance can help you then. Homeowners Insurance. I texted TGS Insurance just the other day. They found an A-rated company for it's a $350 savings. So I'm going to make the switch over with them this week. The switchover is almost instantaneous. It's very, very quick. I'm coming up on the end of my homeowner's insurance, and so I got the letter saying, hey, we got your homeowners, all your documents here for when you're getting ready to re-sign. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And I went and checked, and they are charging $400 more, $500 more from what they had last time. Homeowner's insurance goes up. It never comes down. It only goes up. And that's why TGS Insurance gives you an opportunity to have A-rated insurance for a discounted rate. You can have a competitive rate because A-rated companies are all shopping for you and giving you the best rate they can find. The companies you're with right now, they're simply going to raise your rate. And it's almost standard across the board where it's just simply not going to come down. Make sure you text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. The word is money, and you can get a quote within 15 seconds that's going to show you what you can start to save on your homeowner's insurance. Text the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save.